Today on Real Radio.
Why should I go back to church? Why should you? Because it's God's desire for you to come back. That's the bottom number one reason, because God says so. You say, Pastor, I don't like the church. Find a church you like. Oh, I haven't been able to find a church I like. Oh. Maybe you're expecting more out of the church than what God expects out of the church then. No, put your eyes on Jesus, Christian, and go back to the church. Or find a church.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his mini-series taken from the book of Acts, chapter 2, and verses 41 through 47. This parenthetical group of studies is called Why Should I? Because it answers those questions into which we have all inquired. In fact, recently we've examined two related questions: why should I fellowship, and why should I go to church? Well, here's a title that, if it doesn't hit home with you, it just might with someone you know. Why should I come back to church? Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
As we go through this 12-part series this morning, using Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47, there the scripture says, "Then those who gladly received his word," that was Peter's preaching. As Peter preached his message on the southern steps of the temple there, it says that the people were baptized, and about that day, 3,000 souls were added to the church. Acts 2, 42 says, "And they continued," you ought to circle that word because that's the key, "they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine," that's biblical teaching. The apostles' doctrine is not what they made up. It's what God had revealed by the power of the Holy Spirit from the Old Testament and as he revealed the new. Bible doctrine is the teaching of the apostles. And fellowship, that's the getting together. The early church was, at its birth, Jewish in its core. But as it began to evangelize and grow, the church spilled over into the Gentile world, and the Roman Empire became very concerned about the Christian church for one big reason. You want to know why? The bulk of the Christian church were slaves of the Roman Empire, mainly Gentile slaves as time went on. And they looked for any reason to fellowship. Did you know that? Fellowship. I think that's where potlucks were invented, Christian fellowship. We love it. We love getting together. We love fellowshipping together. We love talking. We love eating. We love doing things together. We love eating. But you know what I'm excited about? The fellowship. Could we have said, "Why don't you bring your own food?" And you can do that if you want. Well, we thought it'd be fun to bring the In-N-Out burger truck here. And why? Just have fellowship with the best. You're the best, and the burgers are the best. But being together, that's how the early church functioned, and they rejoiced in that. The church together and fellowshipping and being together, they enjoyed it immensely. But as time goes on, people are people. That's what's wrong with the Christian church today. Did you know that? The Christian church is full of people. And because it's full of people, not everybody gets along. We all have opinions, we all have attitudes, and yet we're one big family. And we're related now in the spirit to each other. And as we begin to talk and share, maybe somebody's not having a good day. I mean, let's be honest, maybe somebody's just flat out in the flesh. And you walk in the door and somebody says, "Well, that's an ugly dress." "Oh, I was just kidding." No, you hurt that person. You just laid their heart wide open. Or maybe somebody did the end around, you know, and ripped you off somehow in the church. Maybe it was a Christian business. And they advertise, "We're a Christian business." You expect integrity with a Christian business, but that's not what happened to you. You got robbed, and so now you get angry, and we've all been there. What do? Well, we either take it to God and deal with it according to the Word of God, or some get their feelings hurt, and they think that they're going to show God something. I don't know why they would take it on to God, but they're not going to go to church anymore. That's it. And they pull out for whatever reason. Now listen, as we get into our study this morning, your pain, your experience that may have led you away from your church is real. The hurt is real. Your situation may even be justifiable, meaning that you were totally, completely wronged by what they or a person did to you. But listen, it's those justifiable hurts that we have in our lives that we can amass a crusade around. And rather than give it to God, we will hang on to it. And you know what happens? It's like the people when the Titanic was sinking. True story. Many of the pursers and the servants on the Titanic and some others, I'm sure, did you know that they began to break in to some of the cabins and suites of very wealthy people on that cruise. And they began to load their pockets with gold and with jewelry and all kinds of precious materials. They jumped over the side of the ship thinking that they were going to make it over to the boat, get on, and just make it to America or who knows where and be rich. They jumped over with all of their pockets full of gold and of jewelry and everything and went straight to the bottom. Not thinking that this weight is going to pull me down. This weight's going to just cause me to fall and to be stumbled and to maybe possibly never recover. They didn't think about that. Christian, and this message this morning is to the Christian. Be careful. People will hurt us and people will harm us. But you know what? Jesus Christ has never hurt us. He will never hurt us. And we need to understand something, that when we're hurt, we need to take it to the Lord and deal with it His way. But never stop following and obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. Why would you add insult to injury and turn your back on Him? 3 points this morning. Jot them down if you would. Point number one is this today. Why should I go back to church? Why should you? Because it's God's desire for you to come back. That's the bottom number one reason, because God says so. You say, Pastor, I don't like the church. Find a church you like. Oh, I haven't been able to find a church I like. Oh. Maybe you're expecting more out of the church than what God expects out of the church then. No, put your eyes on Jesus, Christian, and go back to the church or find a church that can minister to you again. Why? Because number one reason, God wants you in the church. He wants you there in many, many ways to do many, many things, as we shall see. But the number one point to our study this morning is it's God's desire that you go back to church. And how so is that true? Well, first of all, jot it down. He wants what's best for you. He wants what's best for us. Now, this takes a huge step of faith. Right now, right here, right now. We've got to believe in the Bible. And the Bible tells us that God wants for us the very best. And with that, we have to receive by faith, because we'll argue with that. Like this. I'm hurt. I'm not going to a church. And I'm justified in my pain. I was wronged. But Jack, if you're asking me to believe that God wants His best for me, then why don't I have the best? And immediately, you and I are placed, and we place ourselves in that spot of being the evaluator or somehow the inspector or the determinant about what is good for me, what's best for me. You hear what I'm saying? God says, attend the church. In fact, in Hebrews 10:25, it says, do not forsake the assembling together with the church, as some have done. But He says, get together even more often as you see the end approaching. And according to the Bible, the end is approaching. So what should we do? Give up? No. Fellowship more. If you do not do that, if I do not do that, I'm offending the heart of God. But see, we get so caught up into what we think. See, God says, I know what I want for you, and I want the very best for you. And here's what I do. For example, true story. Last week, we ordained our pastor down in Mexico, in San Jose del Cabo, Baja. And so we were down there on Monday night installing our pastor there, and I have not had a banana split in over 10 years. I didn't realize that, and I never even think about banana splits. Well, after that, I went, and there's a Baskin-Robbins in that little town. And I mean little town. A Baskin-Robbins. So we walk in there, and I'll take a banana split. You know what? As soon as I got home, I said, Lisa, get in the car. We're going to Baskin-Robbins. We're getting banana splits. It was fantastic. I had no idea. I completely forgot. Banana split, all the stuff on there. Oh, my goodness, it was fantastic. And so I'm eating that thing, and now I want to eat one every day. I want to eat a banana split every day. Listen, it's what I want. Now, I'm sure God is saying, Jack, don't eat one every day. But I haven't heard from Him yet about that. So my desire is, I want a banana split. The truth is, if I eat a banana split every day, I will not be healthy. I will get fat, sick. Tastes great. It's what I want. But I can want something so much to my liking that I hurt myself. Those of us who have been together on mission outreaches, especially to Western Europe, we'll get on the Autobahn. We've done it together, remember? 165 miles an hour, 200, and I think it's 80 kilometers an hour, flying down the Autobahn. I think it's why man was born. It's awesome. And you want to drive like that all the time. I can't drive like that all the time. You get hurt doing that. It's got to be at the right time, the right place, and all that. It's got to be legal. You see, I can do what I want against what God wants, and I can eat banana splits until I can't get in that car. Or I eat a banana split, get in the car, go so fast and out of control that when there's an accident, all that's left is banana splits all over. Why? Because I'm doing it my way. And so we might say this morning, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. You know, I was doing fine one time in a church, but this is what happened, and I'm not going anymore. Why are you doing that? Who do you think you're harming? It's you. You don't want to do that anymore. I believe if we held a crusade at Edison Field, and we invited just people who are Christians but not attending any church, do you realize we could not contain the people? There are more people out there that love Jesus, but yet they've strayed away and they've got justifiable hurts and they're not fellowshipping with God. And God says, come back and fellowship with my church that I paid with my own blood. He wants what's best for us. Didn't God say in his creation in Genesis, after each day of creation, God looked at it and said what? It is good. And then he creates Adam and Eve, and on the final day, he said, it is very good. And Adam and Eve were in the garden, and all was well. Then you keep reading. Doesn't take long. In fact, I did this a couple weeks ago. I'll do it again. Those of you who saw this, bear with me again. But look at this. This is all of creation right there. The universe, Adam and Eve, animals, everything, the universes, the clusters of universes that are out there. Everything God created. He did it all right there, all right there. Then Adam and Eve, they blow it right about here in the garden, and the rest of the book is, please come back home, I love you, come back. The Bible says Adam and Eve blew it, they're hiding in the garden, and the Bible says that God came walking in the cool of the evening, in the cool of the day, and he says, Adam, you bum! He didn't do that. He didn't say, Adam, you blew it! He said, Adam, what did he say? Where are you? Now, God knew where he was. I believe that God was trying to evoke from Adam confession. I believe if he would have confessed, God would have covered the sin, and we would have been living in a garden right now. Adam, where are you? Come back in fellowship. Maybe God is saying, Bob, where have you been? Susie, where are you? He's been calling out, and you know how hard it is to live like that, don't you? You're a Christian, but God wants more out of your life. And he wants you to fellowship. He wants you to be in his army to assist in the spiritual development of other people. It's called the church. Yeah, boy, you don't. The church that I went to, I didn't like it. Well, listen, as long as you departed from that church for biblical reasons, that is, the church was not biblically sound, or there were wrong things or immoral things, then leave. By all means, get out of there. Knock the dust off your feet. But maybe you left the church that you were attending because it didn't go the way that you wanted, and God was actually desiring to use you to help better that church through a trying and difficult situation. It's possible, you know. It's possible. Why am I even bringing this up, and why am I including this in our series of Why Should I? Because there's so many wounded people, and it's God's will that you be wounded no more. He wants you to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so that's a very, very important thing. God knows what's best, and he wants what's best. Listen, he not only wants what's best for us, but God knows what's best. Jot that down. That's our second consideration under this point. Our first point is, it's God's desire that you come back. Number one thing regarding that is God wants what's best for us. Number two, He knows what's best for us. I love this. You pick up the Bible. Listen, you can't pick up the Quran and get what I'm about to say. You can't pick up the Tibetan Book of the Dead and get what I'm about to say. You can't get it from Buddha or from Confucius or anyone else. The Bible from cover to cover says, God says, you're my children, call me Father. I love the Hebrews. They say, Abba. If anybody in here Italian, speak Italian? Papa. You want to call God Father? Papa. If you're Hebrew, Abba. You know, today for us in English, we wouldn't say Father, that's too formal. We would say Daddy. God in the Bible writes to us, sends His prophets and says, will you call me Dad? Is that not fantastic? Why would anybody run away from their Father? Their Father in heaven, who knows what's best for us. He loves us so much, He knows what's best. And people run. When it says here in the book of Acts that they continued, well, the word continued in Acts 2:42, if you look it up in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, Noah Webster says it means this. And by the way, it's the same in the Greek. The word continue, as they continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and prayers. Listen to this. To continue. The word means to determine to press forward. It's a decision you make. To stay at or to persevere upon a course or a task until success is had or enjoyed. To keep on going, usually in the face of opposition or difficulty. Wow. Acts chapter 1 verse 14 says that they continued with one accord in prayer. They continued on. You know, to keep moving, to go forward. Someone has said to continue is to put the throttle down. And that made me think of a thought. If you're an engineer in here, or maybe you're a pilot. I'm a pilot, light aircraft pilot. Maybe you know something about that stuff. There's a thing called V1, V2. And by the way, you may not know about it, but you experience it every time you get on an airplane. You can get on a United Airlines flight, you sit down and everything just seems so normal. And that pilot's sitting there, you know, he starts to taxi out and he gets that plane into position to take off. You know what he's thinking about? He's thinking about V1, V2. Well, what's V1, V2? V1 is the speed that a plane reaches, that the nose begins to come off the ground, okay? It's going too fast to stop, but it's going too slow to fly. It doesn't take an Einstein to figure out it ain't a good place. I'm V1. I'm going so fast I can't stop, but I'm not going fast enough to take off. And the end of the runway is coming. Do you know what that pilot does? I don't care if he's an atheist. Do you know what he's doing? He's praying. You mean they do that on the big 747s I'm flying on? Oh yeah. He puts that throttle down and that plane is going out on, and it's moving. And you're sitting back there and you're looking at the magazine, you're looking at the window, you have no idea there's beads of sweat coming down that guy's face. You say, Pastor, don't tell me that. I'll never get on the plane again. That plane is moving and that co-pilot or that engineer on that flight is calling out airspeeds. And then he says, V1! And right then it's, why? Because you gotta get the V2. If you don't get the V2, you're not gonna make it. And so when V2 happens, I'm sitting back there on my little seat. I'm going, yes, God, thank you. Why? Because now you're going fast enough to fly. A lot of Christians pull into position. They receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And man, they head down the aisle. Oh, Lord, I give you my life. And we all did that. But you know what? After a while, maybe a week, maybe a month, maybe a year, maybe 10 years, something happens. And we've been going great. But you know what? In the mature department, we didn't get off the ground. Maybe we filled our head with a bunch of knowledge, and yeah, we're going to heaven. Our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and our soul is saved. But you know what? There comes, as Jesus promised, a difficulty in life. Difficulties have to come to the believer's life. You see, the stuff that you ran away from was engineered by God to help you to get through something, to show you His faithfulness, but you ran. And God does not walk in your garden today and say, where are you? No, He says, hey, where are you? Come on back. You never got out of V1. You were going so fast, but you couldn't take off. Maturity gets you off the ground. And when you get off the ground, you know what? Yeah, there's bumps. Yeah, there's things to watch out for. But it's the only way that you can fly in your spirituality. It's the only way that it works. God knows what's best for us. My friend, the day that you signed up for this, Jesus, you're my Lord and Savior, he was not joking around. You may not have taken him seriously, but he took you seriously. And you're his child. And he brought you near to his side, and he put his Holy Spirit in your life. That's why when you get up every morning and God says, are we going to read the Bible today? You know how he's been saying that to you for years? Are we going to read the Bible today? What do? You turn on the radio as loud as you can. You get busy. You turn on your cell phone. You're V1. You're going fast enough, but not fast enough to fly. And God says, come on, let's fly. Today, can we fly? Isn't it an amazing thing that Jesus comes to you and I every morning? If you're walking with God or if you're a Christian and you're not walking with God, Jesus says, what are we going to do today, you and I? What are we going to do today? So what do you mean, what are we going to do today? You're God. You're going to do what you want to do today. That's not what he's all about. God says to us, what are we going to do today? Tomorrow morning when you wake up, he's going to ask you, listen, and I'm praying, I've been praying he'll ask you this. What are we going to do today? Because wherever you go, Jack, that's where I'm going to go. What are we going to say today, Jack? Whatever you say, that's what I'm going to be saying. I'm not going to separate myself from you. I'll never leave you or forsake you, Jack. So what are we going to do today? It's best that I get up in the morning, that you get up with me in the morning, and we say, Lord, what are we going to do today? Oh, that's how you fly. And that's how we get above all the stuff that pulls us down, those sins that so easily ensnare us. You might say, well, Pastor, you're not touching on the reason why I walked away. Well, hopefully I'll get to that. But you know what? He not only wants the best, he knows the best, he gives the best. We only need to spend a moment on this one. He gives the best. What does that mean? Well, first of all, he gave us his son on the cross. Was that not good enough for us? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, he gave us his son on the cross. God died on the cross in the person of Jesus, shed his blood that we might have the forgiveness of sins. He gave his best. He gave exactly what we needed. Not only that, Jesus sends us the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of us. And of course, the Father tells us how much he loves us all the time. Those of you who have wandered away, one of the things that the enemy, Satan, whispers in your ear, and he sounds just like your voice. You know how that is? Sounds like me in my head. I can't come back. God can't love me anymore. He shoots those fiery darts of thoughts in your mind. Guess what? You get to come back.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a study called, Why Should I Come Back to Church? Certainly a convicting question if you've been out of fellowship for a while. It's a study taken from the New Testament book of Acts, chapter 2, in a mini-series called Why Should I? Answering those questions we've all asked as young believers. Why should I fast? Why should I get baptized? Well, we'd also like you to know that this Why Should I series is available to you all on one MP3 CD for your gift to Real Radio of any amount. Let me repeat that. For your gift to Real Radio of any amount, we'll send you this series all on one convenient MP3 CD. In fact, you can read more about it if you'd like simply by paying us a visit at realradioactive.org and under the banner Special Offer. realradioactive.org. If you'd like, you can give us a call by using our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. RR Radio. You may also write to us. Send your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Now, of course, if you missed any of this contact info, just remember realradioactive.org. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.